Listening Dog Media.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, it's Robbie here with a preliminary message ahead of this episode of Outside Centre. Now, we thought we should provide some context to the noise you're about to hear from World Cup winner and five-time Six Nations winner, Vicky Fleetwood. We were faffing about recording the podcast and Ellie's lovely dog Willow came into the room. Willow was sniffing the microphone, hence this from Vicky Fleetwood. Enjoy the podcast.
She was like this.
Down the mic. she wants to be in the podcast.
Oh, there she is.
Oh, there she is.
You want to be in?
Ooh. I started recording, by the way, so that we got Vicky sniffing the muff.
Sorry, what did you just say?
Oh, no, Vicky, that's what Vicky was doing with her microphone.
Sorry. But did you realise what you just said, Robbie?
Well, yeah, no, I do, but I've got, this is what they're called. It's a microphone muff. No, it's just, this is what they're called.
He's trying to see. Yeah.
In industry, this is what we call. But it's fine.
He's like, how do we get more of an audience? Talk about that.
Oh, that was funny.
Okay, let's.
I'm crying. Well,
that's a good way to start. Let's start, shall we? Hello and welcome to the most listened rugby podcast in Denmark. This is a new podcast for rugby fans of all varying knowledge bases. And coming up, we are going to preview and look forward to what is a huge round three of the Women's Six Nations. A proper exciting weekend of Scotland versus England, of Ireland versus Wales, and of France versus Italy. We'll go into the permutations and what is going on with all those games, what to expect, what to look out for, etc. We're going to do that with World Cup winner Vicky Fleetwood and also fresh from tearing it up in Hong Kong, scoring tries, taking edgy pictures, playing in front of 40,000 people. It's Ellie Boatman.
Woo-hoo! Hello.
Firstly, how are you? Because you must be tired.
I am a little tired, a little jet lagged, but do you know what? It's a really nice day today, so I'm happy to be home and it's good to be back with you guys.
We did miss you last week. You sent us a voice note, which we played out, sort of saying hi and everything. Really, really reminded me of, you know, that video that went viral of those people at the top of the Shard. It was giving off those kind of vibes. I mean, for anyone that wasn't listening, this was the voice note.
Hey, Robbie and Fleeto, missing you guys out here. It's very hot, humid and cloudy Hong Kong.
Anyway, so that was how it started. And it very much reminded me, and the youthful listeners to this podcast will get this reference.
Happy birthday, Miranda, from the Shard in London. Missing you, loving your face, and have a super birthday.
It's giving happy birthday, Miranda vibes.
Oh my God, I'm glad I can provide entertainment for you both. I just wanted you to know that I was missing you. I got a bit flustered making that voice note.
Should we get on to what happened for you then? So you've been busy playing actual rugby in the last week or so. You've been over in Hong Kong and playing sevens and it was a sort of a mixed bag of days, right? So talk us through how it all planned out.
A real mixed bag, both for the team and for me individually. We had a really difficult pool. We had New Zealand and France, first day. Nighttime games in Hong Kong, big crowd, very overwhelming, but incredible experience. And to be fair, the New Zealand game did go better than expected. They're the world's best at the moment. We did keep them out for quite a while, but the France game didn't go to plan, didn't go how we wanted it to go. And then we just put ourselves in a position where we missed out on a quarterfinal by like 3 points. And in sevens, like, it's such small margins, and if you don't, if you let one game get away from you, you can miss a quarterfinal, and that's just reality of it, and then you miss top eight. So we ended up finishing ninth, which was not the plan, obviously, going to the tournament. But the good thing was we stayed ahead of Brazil, which means we're out of the relegation zone, and that was a big aim getting into it. So that was good, and yeah, got some nice tries. Finished my tournament not quite as planned, guys. I got my first red card. Yeah, not ideal.
Naughty, naughty.
Do you want to talk about it?
No, I just had to make a try-saving tackle, and I just got it a bit wrong. And rugby is very small margins, and it was probably a few inches away from being the best tackle of my career. And I just got it slightly wrong and ended up hitting Nadine's head. Thankfully, she's okay. I literally spoke to her straight after the game and she was absolutely fine. And we had a little hug and it's all good. And that's what I love about rugby, is that you can go and shake hands after the game and like give each other hugs. And yeah, for those like 40 minutes on the pitch, you are each other's enemies. And then you can have a bit of a laugh and a joke after. So it's all good, but not quite went to plan. But it was an amazing experience. And yeah, the crowds were incredible.
So how does that work then? Obviously in sevens with... like if you get a ban, or like, is that match ban, tournament ban? Like, how does that work? And do you know what you've got yet?
Match bans usually. So I've already served one because I didn't play the last day, and I've got three in total. So luckily for me, it was a bit of a mitigation with games, and obviously didn't do it intentionally. So yeah, and I don't have a bad record either. So that always helps you. In rugby, they kind of, they have lawyers and things involved when you have a hearing and you get a red card, and they'll look at things like your history, kind of how remorseful you were, like how dangerous it was and everything like that. So yeah, three games, served one already. I think I haven't had everything confirmed yet, but I am mostly dual coded with club, so unsure whether that will be included in it. So it may be fine for Singapore, but we'll see.
Do you want to talk about the more positive bits of the weekend?
Yeah, that would be great.
Let's talk about your tries, because there's, I mean, how many did you score in the end of the course of the weekend?
I think I played four games and scored three.
And one of them is doing the rounds on social, and oh,
on viral.
It's the viral level that you've got like fancy music over it.
It was a bit of a weird one because like I remember getting the ball at the time and I didn't expect to get the ball. Because there was a few passes. Lauren, who gave me the ball, did really well to not drop it and quickly give me a pass. But I wasn't necessarily expecting to have the ball. And then I remember looking up and thinking, I've got loads of space here. But there was like three French players like tracking me. And I was like, okay, can I either step back inside here or back myself? And I thought, nope, I'm going to back myself and see how it pays off. And luckily I was under the sticks. And it's a nice feeling as an edge player when you get tries like that. Because like I said before, everyone is fast on the series, like everyone is quick. So when you score an individual try like that, it's a nice feeling because you're like, no, I am still quick.
The cut that's gone on social, it kind of looks like you actually make eye contact with the defender and you sort of like eye her up and you're like, hi, I'm going past you, goodbye. Like, do you actually do that? Do you make eye contact and sort of stare them out?
I do think I did, yeah. When I remember it in my head, I sort of know the player who was opposite me, basically, and I kind of knew that I was faster than her. So when I realised who it was, I was like, no, I am going to take you on. And then kind of eyed her up and went. And sometimes you do just have to learn who's opposite you and back yourself. And yeah, I was just lucky enough to have some space and I thought, I'm going to back myself here.
That is actually awful as a defender as well, being like, oh no, they've just looked at me and they know that they're going to skin me. And you're just there thinking, oh, I've got to go with everything right now.
But that means that if you're going to make eye contact, you have to actually beat them. Otherwise, you look stupid.
Yeah, you have to score it. Or otherwise, if you get
yeah.
hit backwards, that would be a bit of an embarrassing feeling.
Let's park sevens for now. And I want to move on because we're going to welcome in our second ever guest to the podcast. Someone who has gone viral on TikTok and on Instagram. It is the brilliant Frankie, a.k.a. That Rugby Girl off Instagram and TikTok. Frankie, welcome to Outside Centre.
Thank you.
It's so nice to have you on. You're on with real life Vicky Fleetwood and Ellie Boatman. How does it feel?
It's exciting.
Well, we're proper chuffed that we can get you on the podcast. We wanted to get you on, and we won't keep you for too long, by the way, because am I right in saying you're actually helping out your dad, aren't you, with like holiday coaching courses? So you're coaching now as well.
Yeah, so we're helping out with it's a multi-sport camp where we teach and we play sports for little kids.
It's good stuff. And you yourself, so you're I guess like massive rugby fan and everything like that, but tell us a bit about you. How did you sort of get into rugby, and do you play, do you have a club?
I don't play at the moment, but I'm looking to go and play at Canvey, I think.
Nice.
I started, so my dad's played rugby all his life, and I came out of school one day and I meant I really want to play, so he took me to his nearest club and we started playing it.
Because was that similar to how you both started, Vicky and Ellie? Like how did you kind of get into rugby?
Yeah, kind of born into it as well. Got bored of watching my brother play when I was like four, and my dad used to coach as well, so I was like, no, I want to play, like this looks fun. So yeah, kind of similar, kind of born into it, but just got jealous of my brother having attention, really.
Whereas I didn't actually start until I was 14. They offered it at school. I just thought it looked really fun. I'd done loads of other sports and, yeah, just thought I'd give it a go at school and then went from there.
And Frankie, am I right in saying you've met Ellie before, haven't you? Did you meet Ellie? When and where did you meet Ellie?
Oh, I can't remember that really.
We've met a few times at games, yeah. I think I've met Frankie at a Saris game, a Wasps game, quite a few times, haven't we?
Yeah.
And what's she like? What's she like in front of her fans? I hope she doesn't pie you off for a selfie or anything, does she?
No, she takes time to talk to everyone, and she's really nice.
Thanks, Frankie.
Yeah, checks in the post for that one from Ellie, Frankie. So what we're going to do, Frankie, we were just about to start previewing round three of the Six Nations. And so if you could you stick with us for a few more moments, and we'll chat about England, Scotland, because this is proper exciting, isn't it? It's a massive week for the Six Nations, and sort of the biggest game probably, arguably, is this England-Scotland game, first up on Saturday in Edinburgh, and it's a sellout at the Hive. So over 7,000 fans going to be going down. First time they've ever sold out that stadium. Like, it's going to, regardless of what happens kind of on the pitch, it's going to be a proper fun day, isn't it?
Amazing to see that they've done that. But does that mean that next year they're going to be playing next door? They get to actually play in Murrayfield? Will that be where it goes from here?
That'd be so good.
Let's hope so.
And in terms of on-the-pitch stuff, Ellie, so England, of course, 2-2. Mm-hmm. Scotland, 1-1, lost one off the back of that defeat to France that will have hurt. But we spoke to Louise McMillan last week, and she was like, you know, we're going to take so much from that game and into this week. So I guess the question is, do you think that they could, how far could they push England?
I was going to say, I obviously wasn't on last week, but I wanted to be kind of smug in terms of being like, I told you they were going to be the underdogs with France. Like, it was a very close game. I knew it was going to happen.
It was.
Yeah, I think they're just on such a high at the moment, and you can see how much they're developing as a team. So I definitely think they'll give England a good game. I think England is still too strong at the moment, and that's just kind of reality of where they're at. But still, I personally love going into a game as an underdog and like surprising people. So I think England cannot take it as an easy game whatsoever.
Well, I was just going to ask you, Frankie, what have you made of the Six Nations so far, and what have you made of Scotland and England? And same question to you. Like, do you reckon that Scotland could get close to England at all? Or do you reckon England will just be way too good?
I think England could be good, but it's going to be a really, really close game because Scotland and England have both been doing really good and everything.
What sort of who have you been watching, and who's sort of impressed you in the Six Nations so far? Are there any particular players on England side or Scotland side that you're enjoying watching?
Abby Ward's been amazing. The way she's had a baby and then came back straight away and is like doing full contract and scoring tries and just being amazing.
It's the way that, I don't know if you've seen that, the thing she did with Sue Anstis, and she was like, yeah, so the plan was like, I'll give birth and then be back playing 3 months later. Like, just, you know, that easy thing of going through 9 months of pregnancy, then giving birth, and then having to, you know, do the night feeds and all of that, being a brand new like mum, and then go back to getting on the pitch. And like you say, Frankie, back doing full contact, all that kind of stuff, putting your body on the line when your body's already just been through so much, growing a baby, having a baby. Hats off to her.
And where are you going to, what's the deal on a Six Nations weekend for you, Frankie? Where do you watch the game? You're going to be at home? You're going to go to a rugby club? What's the deal?
We normally stay at home and watch it, or we might go around my granddad's.
Nice. That's literally how I grew up watching rugby, is going around to my granddad's, watching the Six Nations and just being absolutely buzzing about it. That'll be a lot of fun. And before we let you go, have you got a question for maybe for Ellie or for Vicky, anything you'd like to ask them or know about?
Yeah, so a question is, what is the best moment in your in rugby that you can remember?
Good question. Ellie, do you want to go first?
I think recent ones for me was going to the European Games and winning a gold medal and qualifying for the Olympics after quite a tough season and coming back from injury for that as well. That was amazing. And my second rugby memory is scoring a try at Twickenham, is always pretty special. So yeah, those are mine.
Yeah, I've got a couple as well. So winning the World Cup, it was a long time ago now, nearly 10 years ago. But yeah, incredible feeling when you've kind of worked for something for so long and then it all just kind of comes together. It all clicks on the day and just that was incredible. And then in 2017, we played against New Zealand in New Zealand and it was before one of the Lions midweek games. And it was just incredible. We won. So that was amazing. But there was all the Lions fans there as well. And afterwards we did a massive lap just going around and everyone was like, Lions, Lions. We were joining in with it. And it was just, they love their rugby in New Zealand. So just to go out there and to beat them in their backyard was awesome. And it just, it was such a good atmosphere. And everyone who was involved in that game, I'm pretty sure would say the same thing. It's probably one of their top memories just because it's something that you don't get to do very often. Playing before a Lions game was just amazing.
So, so cool. What a great question, Frankie. We like that very much. Can we ask you as well? What in your short rugby journey so far, what would your sort of favourite memory be?
Oh, it had to be going to the start of the Six Nations, and meeting all the captains of the Six Nations. That was pretty cool.
That is proper cool. Was that the launch and stuff? So who did you get to speak to?
We got to speak to all the captains, and it was just the way they took time to go and speak to you. And there was this one captain who was French, but she couldn't speak English at all, so she was speaking French, and then but they always made sure they had time to come speak to you and do videos with you.
It's one of the things we love about rugby, isn't it? It's very human sport. Everyone's kind of on the same level, and it's beautiful. Well, listen, Frankie, we're going to let you get back because we know you're busy and you got to do some coaching. But thank you so much for being on Outside Centering, and keep doing the great work you're doing over on social media because it's so fun. We're all watching it, and you'll be inspiring loads of people to start playing rugby and be interested in rugby. So. Good job. Keep up the good work, won't you?
Thank you.
Thanks Frankie.
Oh, that was good to have Frankie on, wasn't it? And I didn't want to do too much blowing smoke there with Frankie, but what she's doing on, I know you two are both aware of what she does on social media and stuff. Stuff like that is so important, isn't it, for getting people into the game and everything like that.
Yeah, she does loads with her dad. I was aware of her, I think, a few years ago now. She popped up on my social media and then met her a few times at games, and she's always doing little interviews with her dad and stuff. And yeah, you're right, so many young girls are going to see her posting her content and think I'll give that a watch, or I'll give rugby a go. So it's important to have those people in rugby who aren't necessarily playing all the time, but are kind of promoting the sport in their own way. So yeah, she's great.
Good stuff. Right, let's move on to our second game of the weekend. We've ticked off Scotland versus England. Next up in Dublin, it's going to be, no, in Cork actually. Sorry, I'm being Irelandist, saying that everything happens in Dublin. In Cork, we've got Ireland versus Wales. That's at 4:45 on Saturday, and neither of these sides have won a game yet. So my question to you, Vicky Fleetwood, who is this bigger for?
I actually think Ireland are looking better than Wales at the moment, which I would not have said before the tournament. I'm actually really enjoying watching Ireland, and their attack just seems far better in my mind than the Welsh's attack. Yeah, I think it's going to be Ireland that are going to clinch this one.
Home advantage in Ireland, that is quite big. And like Felito said, I think their attack is definitely looking stronger. But then Wales can turn up and they'll definitely have a lot to play for. And I'm sure that they've been working really hard in this fallow week and getting back together. So I think it could be a really close game. I'm going to say Ireland with the home advantage.
I mean, if you're Wales, though, Vicky, you're like, you know, you had that like sickener to Scotland and then you've just been, you know, you had a difficult day out in Bristol against England and conceded 8 tries. Come on, surely someone in that team has got to be like, right, sorry, screw this. We need to win this game. And someone needs to pull some magic out of the hat, right?
Well, as I keep saying, start Ciara Bevan, for one. Keep her on the pitch. That might make a difference. I've mentioned her in every single podcast. Had to get that one in there.
Including this one.
Yeah, there we go. I agree with Ellie, though. Having played Ireland away many times, they're a different beast when they are at home. And the crowd behind them just brings something else out in them. And as I said, like the way they've been playing these last 2 games, they've improved from the first game to the second game. I think they're going to improve again. Yeah, I think they'll be too strong for Wales. I don't really know where Wales go from here, to be honest. I was quite excited, before the Six Nations started about kind of where Wales would be. The fact that they've been full-time for quite a long time now, and I thought that that was going to show in their performances, but it seems that all the other nations have just really stepped it up a little bit.
Do you think it's been a little bit of a rebuilding process? I don't know, with some kind of younger girls making their first caps and younger girls coming through and some of the older girls perhaps either being injured or retiring. I don't know whether they just take it as a bit of a rebuilding time and take it what it is, try and get the most out of the rest of the Six Nations and then go from there. But you're right, they have had professional contracts for a while now. So it's like, how long can you keep saying that? It's tricky. It's hard when things aren't going your way and like media plays a part in that as well, and there are expectations for them to perform, so it'd be nice to see them do well.
But also because so many of them in a club shirt are playing so well week in, week out, it's just as soon as they're kind of in the Welsh shirt, normally that brings, you know, an extra few percent to their game, but for some reason it's just not clicked yet.
Then the third game of the weekend on Sunday at 12:30, curiously, in Paris, is France versus Italy. France, of course, 2 from 2 just after that victory over Scotland. Italy have lost 1 and then 1-1 off the back of that Ireland victory. For you, Ellie, again, an intriguing game because both sides have kind of been showing good signs but also bad signs in that first couple of games.
Yeah, two very flary teams playing each other and a lot of passion on both sides there. But again, France in France, completely different beast for Italy. Like, the fans are different in France. I think Italy are a little bit wounded from the Six Nations. And I think France have just got so much depth there. So for me, I think France are probably going to comfortably win that.
Yeah, I have to agree with Ellie, though. I think flair from both sides. I think there will be lots of errors. France like to try and offload absolutely everything. Italy try and move the ball side to side, even if the defence are really coming at them. They kind of put in random, both teams put in random kicks that you're kind of not really expecting. And I'm sure there'll be some really cool tries scored on the back of random things happening. But I do think that France will, they'll come together. They have such strong forwards, the flair in the backs. And yes, there'll be lots of errors, but that doesn't seem to stop them. It kind of doesn't matter. They'll make an error and they're just like, oh, it doesn't matter, we'll try it again. They are just exciting to watch because you don't really know what to expect.
Also going to be a huge day for the officials because Joy Neville is going to be refereeing her final international game. And she is, for anyone that doesn't know, she's a proper trailblazer, isn't she, for not only women's rugby, but for women's sport and for sport in general. She refereed the 2017 World Cup final and she's been refereeing for a long, long time. And she is a proper sort of stalwart of rugby and of women's rugby, Ellie. I imagine you've come across her before whilst you've been playing?
Yeah, I think so. I didn't realise it was her last. That's sad to see that she's bowing out with the last international game. But like you said, absolute trailblazer of female officials. I think over the last few years, we've seen female officials just absolutely booming, which is so good to see because it's so important, not just for women's rugby to have obviously strong female players, but also female officials. So it's nice to see so many stories coming out about female officials as well. And she's definitely right up there with being an absolute legend.
You had any run-ins with her, Vicky?
I mean, run-ins, is that a bad thing? Well, or do you mean
I suppose, yeah. Have you ever had, you know, any like conversation, has she ever come up to you and had to tell you to stop doing something? Or did she ever tell you off? Did she ever send you off? I don't want to bring up red cards with Ellie around, but did she ever send you off?
I never got a red card in my whole career.
Oh, must be nice.
Yeah, never got a red card. Only got a handful of yellows. And that was like later on in my career when I'd moved to flanker.
I feel really bad. You never got a red card.
Nope.
Do you think that if you're playing now, you would have, like, in today's world with TMO and I mean, you only retired last year, but anyway, do you think you'd be sent any more chance of being sent off?
No, I'm pretty small, so they're like
Ellie's face fuming.
A high tackle thing, like most people tower over me, so to try and get anywhere near their head for me was quite hard work. And then I'd like to think that I always kind of played by the rules, so all the other stuff, you know, I wouldn't be being told off for doing, you know, getting in fights or anything like that. But yeah, I've definitely been refereed by her on many occasions, and I always found that she was just like super clear, always like just you'd know exactly what she expected of you right from the off, and everyone just really respected her. Yeah, amazing to see her going out, you know, from the international stage on a high.
All right, 12:30, France versus Italy on Sunday. Those are your games. If you're watching one game in about three words, both of you, which one are you going for, Ellie Boatman?
Please, may you repeat the question?
Yes, I can.
My dog was making warthog noises and I got distracted.
It's fine. I'll repeat the question. My question was, in around about three words, give or take a few, which game of all those games, if you had to pick one, are you watching?
Ireland Wales, because it's going to be fast. It's going to be fast. It's going to be close. No, close. I meant close.
It's that analysis you don't get on. You're not getting that on Good Scars and the Rugby. Vicky?
I think England-Scotland. I think Scotland will make it tough for England, but we all know kind of how strong England are, and I just think both teams will put in a really good performance, especially with a sellout crowd, so I think that will be a really exciting one.
Right, let's do some housekeeping and then get out of here because we need Ellie to go to bed because clearly she's exhausted. And talking of housekeeping, no pun intended, because we're going to continue our rugby players as kitchen items or similar. Vicky Fleetwood, would you like to just bring us up to speed with how we got to this stage of the podcast?
We started with pasta shapes from rigoni to rigatoni. Yep. We actually had quite a few people write in and say a few of their thoughts on that. Mm-hmm. But then we were kind of clutching at straws and went with, I said Alex Colander to drain your pasta. You then mentioned about Danielle Waterman for your pasta, things like that. And we just thought, let's kind of stretch it and see where we can go with any kind of kitchen appliance. Let's just keep the ball rolling with it. Did anyone actually get in touch?
Yes, they did. I've got a list here and I'm pleased you asked, Vicky. So yeah, we've got, like you said, we've gone from shapes to the pasta making process to the entire kitchen. For example, Lisa Oven Newman, Nicola Frying Pan Day, Fridge or Jer Evans, Maddie Feonati Teacup. Get it?
Nope.
Good. Abby Constable, Constable Table, Andrea Stock Cube, and Aoife Wafer Thin Ham.
That has got to be the best one.
I'll level with you. That last one pulled us out of a gigantic hole.
I mean, that's not even a kitchen appliance. That we've now gone down the food route.
I don't know if I can be asked to do the whole thing.
I have one thing to add, which might be clutching at straws, but Katie Daly McLean in the kitchen.
Oh, strong. Strong. Do you think we've exhausted this yet? Or does it still have legs?
Yeah.
We've just gone to food.
Yeah. So,
take it down the food route.
Okay. Well, Jesus. We're 5 episodes in and we're still going with it. That's fine.
Eat a wafer thin ham. With some... She's actually such an incredible player as well.
Are you just about to try and go from... Are you talking about her, comparing her to ham, to suddenly actually trying to analyse her as a rugby player?
No, but she's one that I've just... Like, these past 2 games, I've been like, wow, she's phenomenal.
And we compared her to ham.
That's what you get for tearing it up in the Six Nations. Right. A couple of quick questions before we go as well. First one comes from Mike, who is asking about Flowergate and wants an update from Ellie on the flower mascots. Now, for anyone who didn't listen to the other podcasts, it all stemmed from when we were talking about the mascot that Marley Packer lost, which was like an in-house team mascot. We then got on to finding out that Ellie Boatman and the GB7s team, they have a mascot which is like a flower thing. And Ellie, you were going to find out in Hong Kong whether or not it was real flowers or fake flowers. Can you update us, please, on the state of the flowers?
I have a photo that I can show to the camera.
That's good podcasting.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Clips? Social clips?
That'd be good. Yeah, well, yeah, sure. We'll get that on social.
Yes, so they're definitely not real because it's April now and they're still very much thriving. And I did actually touch them and I thought how I even considered that they were real in the first place is slightly concerning. But yes, a rose, a daffodil, a thistle and a sunflower at the top to combine all the 3 nations. And that is our flower gate.
And so who has them now?
Unsure. I think they've gone back up to Scotland. But I'm definitely not the youngest in the team, so I don't deal with that. But they will be somewhere and they will always be in the wall in the changing rooms when we get to the tournament. So they get there somehow.
I do think you should be more across it. As a senior player now, I do think you should, you know. And maybe as well, like if you, because you're not gonna have much to do for the next couple of games, are you? So maybe you could keep an eye on the flowers.
Wow.
Too soon.
Also, didn't enjoy the senior player reference. I would still class myself as like middle of the team player, not senior, thank you, Robbie.
Well, you're established. Mm. You know, you're you look at the first names on the team sheet.
Established, not senior. Established.
We got a question from we got a message from Jules as well. All right, I'm going to move things on very quickly. Jules says, "Hi, Vicky, Ellie, and Robbie. Hello. I've been following rugby ever since the Men's World Cup in England in 2015, and I am so excited for another World Cup in this country in 2025." I would, though, like to know, when you're scoring a try, why is it that everyone is obsessed with diving over the line and seemingly stabbing themselves in the stomach with the ball? To uninitiated people like myself, it seems a very painful way to celebrate. Can you please clear this up? Thanks, Jules. It's a great question. I've been wondering this for years. Please explain why this is a thing.
Well, I'm going to start off by saying that majority of my tries, you will see I personally stay on my feet and I don't like diving forward unless I really have to. But some of the girls who play in sevens come from a touch background and love diving forward because it looks good. And a lot of the time you need to dive forward to score the try, I guess, especially if someone is giving you a lot of pressure in defence. Then by you diving, it's quite hard for them to then tackle you. So I guess it is not so much always for how it looks. It's based on what's happening with the defender, but I personally like to stay on my feet.
Most of the time, you wouldn't be aiming for it to be around your stomach. You'd either be kind of reaching forward to try and dive and score it there, or it would be kind of like underneath you, and you almost have it sort of like in one arm, because then you're kind of like then putting your other hand out to kind of help with how you then fall. If it does go into the stomach, it does hurt. I've definitely done that before. But yeah, that's not where you'd be aiming to kind of dive onto it.
Jules, I hope that answers your question. Good stuff. So ball placement is very, very important and very, very rarely does it actually stab you in the chest. All right, good stuff. If you've got any questions, at Outside Centre Pod on Instagram and TikTok. Good stuff. I think that is a good place to leave it. What is happening? Ellie, what's happening with you? When are you next sort of supposedly playing rugby?
I am going to be in Scotland next weekend for a camp and then hopefully we'll be going to Singapore in a few weekends' time. So yeah, it's important to have some downtime in between tournaments and I'm trying to do that
good place to leave today's Outside Centre. If you can, get yourself to the games taking place in Edinburgh. Well, if you've got a ticket, otherwise you can't go, it's sold out. Also in Ireland and in Paris as well. Three very exciting games to look forward to. Next week, we will take a look at what has happened in all of those games and we'll look ahead to round four as well. Please don't forget to subscribe, tell your friends and family, share the podcast, give us a review and a five-star rating if you can. Ellie Boatman, I thank you. Vicky Fleetwood, I thank you.
Thanks.
Bye.
Whatever you do this week, tear it up.
Sports Social Podcast Network.